We are going through the Word of God, and we're going to look at some very difficult to understand passages. The first one is Ezekiel 38 and 39. So I ask that you find that in your Bible. Now, to help you, I will recount the passages of Scripture. It's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And then we come to a guy by the name of Isaiah. And he's a big book. So if you find Isaiah, and in many Bibles, that's the middle of your Bible. I know you learned when you were kids, the middle of the Bible is Psalms. Well, all Bibles are slightly different. So it may be that the middle of your Bible is Isaiah. And then after Isaiah is Jeremiah, and after Jeremiah is Ezekiel. And we are looking at Ezekiel 38 and 39 today. We are just going to brush them. We're not going to do an in-depth study because I want to get all the way to Armageddon in this study this morning. We're going to be looking at the battle of Gog and Magog. We're going to look at the rise of anti-God. And then we're going to look at Armageddon, the sixth and seventh vial judgments, or bowl judgments, if you please. All right, if you found Ezekiel 38, I'm going to begin reading, and you pay attention to the names of the places, and some of them are going to appear on the screen. Some of them on the screen are the places that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38, but by different names today. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of Man. Now this is God's nickname for Ezekiel. Ezekiel the prophet lived during the same time as Daniel. The end of Jeremiah's writings go right into Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's writings go right into Daniel. They are in perfect chronological order, and Ezekiel ministered and wrote his prophecies at the same time that Daniel was in captivity over there in Babylon and was living for God in a very wicked country. And God nicknamed Ezekiel Son of Man. Son of Man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaw, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, and all them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shields and helmets. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Targumma from the far north, and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come unto the land of those, the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Guess what, folks? He's talking about today. He's talking about the century in your lifetime. I was saved the year that Israel became an official nation once again. Where did they come from? All over the world. Came back to the land of Israel. Not all the Jews, by a long shot, but Jews from every country came back to the land of Israel. Why? All of that began because of Hitler killing 6 million Jews. And the Jews said, we got to get out of Europe. We got to get out of Russia. we got to get back to our homeland. And God brought them back. God brought them back and put them there. And now this great company of nations. Now the modern names of those nations that we just read about are on the screen. They are Russia, also known as Scythia. Now you said, I've never read the word Scythia in the Bible. Yes, you have. You just don't think about it when you read it. But that's the same as Russia. The Scythians are even mentioned by the Apostle Paul in one of his epistles. Turkey. We all know where Turkey is. Turkey is rising in power in the Islamic countries. It's very possible that the Antichrist is coming out of Turkey. Iran. We all know about Iran. Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan. Uzbekistan. Turkmenistan. Tajikistan. Afghanistan. And then we go to North Africa. Tunisia, Algeria, Libya, and Sudan. Now you'll notice that Syria is not mentioned. Neither is Saudi Arabia, nor Jordan, nor Egypt. Now you say, why in the world aren't they mentioned? Well, it's very possible they're already destroyed. You say, really? Well, if you go to Psalm 83, and I don't, yeah, I have that on the board. Psalm 83, verses 4 to 12, list those nations that are not in the other list. And God talks about some future event that is going to destroy those nations that I just read. And I took that list out of Psalm 83. If you'll notice in verse 5, it says they consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites and the Moabites and the Gehagarites, Jebel, Ammon, Amalek. Now, some of those countries or those groups of people are what formed the country of Jordan today. Jordan is east of Israel, butts right up to Israel, claims half of Israel. But Israel claims half of that territory, and they are occupying it, praise God. They are taking back what God gave to them. And then he goes on to mention Philistia and the inhabitants of Tyre. Do you know where they are? They're on the western coast of Israel. The Philistines, today we call them Palestinians. They are in Gaza, and they are up in Tyre and Sidon, which is now part of Lebanon. And Lebanon at one time was Christian, quote-unquote, Marx, and today it is pretty much all Muslim. And so God says that all of these are going to gather together. And God is going to deal with them as with Midian. What did God do with Midian? He destroyed that army, didn't he? Remember Sisera? Whatever happened to him? Well, he was leading the Midianite army. And he got weary and he ran and hid in the tent of a lady by the name of Jabel. And she recognized who he was. And he said, give me some water. And she gave him some milk. Told him to lay down and rest. As soon as he fell asleep, she drove a tent stake through his head and pinned him to the ground, and then she called the Israelites to come and take him. God said, I'm going to do the same thing to this group of people. Guess what? It's never happened. Is God's word true? Absolutely. I suspect it's going to happen just ahead of this other big battle. I think God's going to wipe them out and things are going to settle down. Very possibly it's going to happen at the middle of the tribulation or prior to the middle of the tribulation. But let's move on. Let's look at chapter 38. Now chapter 38 gives more details about this battle, this great group of Muslim armies. They're all Muslim armies. Now somebody said to me, Russia is not Muslim. But someone else told me recently that the majority of the people in the Russian army are Muslim now. Interesting. Fits scripture, doesn't it? And so you go to chapter 19, and now you got some more details, and I'm going to start with verse 3. And here's what God says to that great army as they come against Israel from all four sides. I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. Anybody know what a modern day arrow is? It's a guided missile. Do we have any of them? Does the world have them? Does Russia have them? Does Iran have them? Yes, Russia's supplied everybody with them. Shoulder-launched guided missiles. They go wherever you tell it to. Computer-guided. We have bombs. We have all kinds of missiles. Remember how we used the cruise missiles? During the days of putting down the Iraqi government, how we blew up their bunkers from out in the ocean. We just launched a cruise missile, went flying through the air, bang, it blew an underground bunker all to smithereen. We did that hundreds of times during the Iraqi war. Remember, Ezekiel never saw any of those things. So what God gave him to describe were the kinds of armament and warfare that was his day. But we understand now that the horses in the Bible might very well be the tanks and the armored personnel carriers and all of that sort of weaponry. They didn't have airplanes in Ezekiel's day. He couldn't talk about them, but very possibly God is describing that kind of warfare. And he said, you shall fall on the mountains of Israel. Now, most of Israel is mountainous, so that's no big deal. God says, you shall fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you, I will give you to the birds of prey. Have you noticed there's a lot more buzzards today than there used to be? I'm serious. I'm serious. If you don't think there's enough around here, go south. The further south you go, the more buzzards. And I heard years and years ago that the number of buzzards and vultures have increased in the Middle East by great numbers over the past few years. God's getting ready to feed the birds. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. That's a favorite expression of God. I think it's used 36 times in the book of Ezekiel. Then they shall know that I am Jehovah Elohim. God says it over and over and over again. Now, when is this going to happen? When is the battle of Psalm 83 going to happen? And when is the battle of Ezekiel 38, 39 going to happen? I don't know. It's going to happen before the end of the tribulation. It could happen before it begins. That means it could happen before the rapture. Now, there's a lot of people who think the rapture is going to happen this fall, September 23rd to be exact. Now, I have preached the return of the Lord in September or at Rosh Hashanah many, many times, and I'm going to keep preaching that until it happens. It may not happen then. We also believe in the imminence of the Lord's return. That means Jesus could come back at any moment. No matter where we are, what we're doing, what's going on in the world, the trump of God will sound, and the Christians are going to be caught up in the air, and the dead in Christ will be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's a verse that says, you don't know the day or the hour. Now, that is very true with Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah was determined when a priest on a high hill got the first glimpse of the new moon cresting in the mountain far away. And then he blew the trumpet. And then the trumpet would be sounded again and again throughout the country so that everybody knew that Rosh Hashanah had arrived. So you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. And that was true when the Bible was written. Today we can know that because we have computers. But the Bible was written before computers, wasn't it? So when God said you don't know the day or the hour, very true. We don't know the day or the hour, but it could be this Rosh Hashanah, which will be September 23rd. And that is coming. Well, we've talked 2 weeks about the Antichrist, the rise of that rascal. And who is the Antichrist? Well, I've certainly changed my views over the past few years, and I shared those in the last 2 weeks. I believe that he will be Muslim. And I believe he will be the one that the Muslim people are looking forward to, and they are calling the coming of the Mahdi, or the coming of the 12th Caliphate. They are looking for him. We are looking for our Lord. They're looking for their Lord, their leader. And as one converted Muslim says, I learned as I began to read the Bible that the guy that we were looking for, that we call the Mahdi, is the one the Bible describes as the Antichrist. Wow. And the one we believe is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ, Islam looks at him as a bad guy. They do not hold Jesus up like we do. They do not believe Jesus is the incarnate Son of God. They think he's a good prophet, and that's it. Let me tell you something. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that he died on the cross to wash away our sins. We know that Jesus is up in heaven making intercession for us. We know that he's preparing a place for us. Why do we know that? Because he said all those things about himself. And then he rose from the dead, and then in Acts chapter 1, he ascended back to heaven, and the last thing that we got from heaven was this: this same Jesus that you have seen taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Get to work. And that message to those disciples on that hillside that day, get to work, is the message that God has given to every one of us, isn't it? I got work for you to do until I take you home. And we have a job to do, folks. We have not spread the gospel around the world well enough. We have not reached our neighbors with the gospel. We have not reached the business people we deal with the gospel. There's gospel tracts by each door ready for you to take and hand out. There's conversations that you can have. When you go to lunch today, if you go to a restaurant, please take the time to bow your head, close your eyes, and pray. You have no clue what that does to the people around you. I don't mean pray out loud. You're not praying for their food. You're praying for yours. Keep it soft, keep it quiet, but the fact that your lips are moving and your head is bowed, tell the other people in the restaurant, hey, that's a Christian. And if they're a Christian, chances are they're going to come over and say to you, hey, I'm so glad to see you pray today. I've had that happen many times. All right, are you ready? We're going to the next page. Remember, we learned that Antichrist, that's who the world calls Antichrist, and a lot of Christians, I personally believe he's anti-God, the beast out of the sea. And the false prophet, I believe, is Antichrist. And I put that up there and made that plain there on the screen for you. Now, the beast out of the sea is anti-God, and his false prophet is Antichrist, I believe. We learned that he came from the Roman Empire. And don't forget, that doesn't mean he comes from the city of Rome. The Roman Empire stretched from Britain all the way to India and all across North Africa. and encompassed a good bit of all of Turkey and a good bit of Europe. And so you get the picture. And so somewheres out of all of that great span, which is now predominantly Muslim, including Europe, somewhere out of there is going to rise this man. I believe he's alive already today, because I believe these events are coming this close. I believe we are getting close, folks. And we learned that he confirms a covenant with Israel. We don't know what the covenant says. I have a sneaky suspicion that it guarantees them the right to build a temple on the Temple Mount again. Right alongside of the Dome of the Rock. I'm certain it's not going to be in place of the Dome of the Rock. I know a lot of Christians are waiting for a bomb to fall or an earthquake to shake it down on the ground or whatever. But I've also studied enough to know that the actual temple may have been just north of the Dome of the Rock's location. And I suspect that they're going to be able to build their temple right there where it belongs, lined right up with the Eastern Gate, which is all stoned up. But the Bible said Jesus is coming through that gate someday. That means he's going to blow that blocked up gate all to smithereens, and he's going to come right through there. Where is he going to come from? Mount of Olives. When King Jesus comes back, he's going to touch on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split east and west. It's going to split the city of Jerusalem into three parts. It's going to send a valley all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And it's going to send a valley all the way down to the Dead Sea. And water is going to flow out from underneath the throne of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. Where did I learn that? Oh, by the way, that was in Ezekiel also, wasn't it? You can read that later on. Anyway, this bad guy, he comes to power through flattering words. We learn that. He builds a caliphate. That means a government, a religious government of Islam. That's a caliphate. He builds a caliphate of 10 toes. Where did I learn that? Remember the image of Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's great image. The gold head was Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian Empire. The shoulders were silver. They were the Medes and the Persians. The chest and torso was bronze. That was the Greeks. That was Alexander the Great. And his kingdom was divided into four by his four generals after he died at the age of 33. We mentioned all of that. And so out of that, God is going to resurrect another set of kingdoms called the Ten Toes. The tenth toes and the 2 feet. And you can read all about that. I mentioned that last week, but I got to keep going. He's a false god. And in the middle of the 7-year time of his rule and reign, called the tribulation by most of us, and the great tribulation, the second half, in the middle, he is going to put an image of himself into the temple. What temple? Well, it's not there yet. So the temple's got to be built sometime soon. And maybe just after the church is caught away. That's certainly going to change things on earth, isn't it? Just think about what's going to happen when Christians are all caught away at once. Now, there are going to be some that are going to explain our disappearance by aliens. The aliens came to get us. I find it interesting that they think the aliens are going to take all the good folk. Well, they think they're the good folk and we're the bad folk, don't they? Listen, if there were aliens, who created them? God, right? If there's aliens, God created them. Why? Because God created everything in the universe, which is far bigger than any of you or me can ever comprehend. And yet God is focusing all of his attention on this one planet in one solar system out of billions and billions of solar systems, God has worked all of his magic on this particular globe, including sacrificing his son for the inhabitants. I'm satisfied there are no other people in the universe besides us and those that have already gone on to their reward in heaven or hell, whichever the case may be. Anyway, that image of himself is put up in the temple. It's called the Abomination of Desolation. It is mentioned in Matthew 24. It was mentioned, obviously, over in Daniel chapter 27. And the image of the beast is also described in chapter 11. And the mark of the beast, you've all been wondering about that. See what I put up there? If you don't like the first explanation, that the mark of the beast is that band that the Islamic jihadists wear on their head, it says, Allah is great. Or they wear this armband on their arm. It says, Allah is great. If you're not willing to say that, you can't buy or sell. That seems like a very good explanation. And you say, well, how do you get that out of 666? Because those three Greek letters look an awful lot like Arabic letters. And the Arabic symbol looks very much like that thing that those ISA guys wear. So that's one explanation. The other one is, and I heard this long time ago, long before I heard about ISIS, is three sets of six numbers. Now, if you look at that, that's 18, right? How many digits are on your credit card? You got four sets of four, don't you? So you got 16 on your credit card. Do you see where I'm going with this? How about your social security number? How many digits are in that? You have 9 digits in your social security number. We are accustomed to numbers. On the bottom of your check, you have two sets of numbers. One's called the routing number, and the other one's called your number, which is your personal number plus the number of that check. We are a digital world, folks. And so it may very well be some type of an encoding in that you put in your hand or your forehead. And we know those type of things have been tested in grocery stores across our country many times. And they're in a test market right now. They put this little microchip about the size of a grain of rice. Now, many of you have pets. And many of you have pets that have what? Chips. What's the chip? It's that little thing about the size of a grain of rice that's been tucked under the skin somewhere, and I defy you to find it if they didn't tell you where they put it. But when they hold the right little electronic device up there, it gives a readout. It tells your address or your name or whatever the case may be. Well, that got us almost to Armageddon. So I'm going to have to save Armageddon for next week. I know you don't like that thought. But I'm going to finish this up. Nope, back up here. There we go. He persecutes all who will not take his mark. And that, I assume, is worldwide. That brings about what we call the Great Tribulation. During the Great Tribulation, God is going to hide the Jews that live in around Jerusalem in a place that is possibly Petra. That is kind of the standard fundamental interpretation of that, that God's going to whisk away the believers who live in and around Israel. He's going to hide them down there in Petra. Remember where the Antichrist has set up his headquarters? In the new Jewish temple. Well, they're going to realize, hey, this guy ain't for real. This is not the Messiah we've been looking for all these years. And God says, run. Don't even bother to go back and pack. Get out of Dodge. Get out of Jerusalem. Run. And head for the hills. Go down across the Jordan Valley and go down that valley till you come to a place called Petra, which is called the Rose City, carved out of the rocks of the mountains. You've all seen pictures of it, and it's very possible that that's where God's going to hide his people during this time. That brings us to Armageddon, and we've run out of time. So next week, I won't have to study so hard because I already got the notes ready. Next Sunday also is communion of the Lord's table, remember? Prepare your hearts this week to partake of God's table. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God, great Heavenly Father, I can't make it smooth and I can't make it fun, but I trust at least I have enticed your people to do a little studying, a little research, a little comparing scripture with scripture. Glorify yourself this week in our lives, we ask, in Jesus' name. If there's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, Lord, I just ask that you would work in their heart and bring them to yourself if they're not already saved. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.